You are listening to a podcast by Spring Hill Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Spring Hill Church is called to reach everyday people with God's grace, His unconditional love, and the life-changing power of His Word. Thanks for listening, and if you would like more information, you can visit us online at springhill.cc.
Well, this is week number 12 in our series called Keys to Powerful Prayer. And I know we've been taking our time with this series and have gone on several weeks with it. And, that's okay. I don't mind doing that. I don't mind obeying what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. And I'd rather take my time and communicate exactly what He wants me to communicate with you. And then instead of feeling rushed and like we have to get through it and move on to something else, because I believe these truths that we're talking about from the Word of God are very powerful and can change your life. And so we've been using as our foundation scripture the fifth chapter of the book of James and verse 16. I've been, as I have every single week, reading it from the New King James Version, the Amplified Classic Version, and then the Passion Translation. So we're going to do that today. Let's read James 5:16 again from the New King James. It says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." In the Amplified Classic, in that last phrase of that verse, it says this, "The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working." I like that. And then the Passion Translation of that same verse, the latter part, says this, "For tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer." And so prayer is the doorway for us to be able to step into the power of God and to make power available for not only our lives, but whatever the situation is that we might be praying about. And again, prayer is nothing more than just a two-way communication between you and your Heavenly Father. It's really kind of simple. We've made it complicated and hard and those types of things, but really prayer is easy in the sense of what it actually is. But we've been talking about in from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 in the NIV, it says this, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." So notice again in that verse, Paul said that we pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. So there are many different kinds of prayers. There's principles and rules that apply to each of the different kinds of prayers. And again, we're separating these so that we can study them out. We don't want to become religious with this. We don't want to become hard and clinical. The best type of prayer is really the prayer that the Holy Spirit leads you to pray at that moment. It might be the prayer of faith. It might be some other prayer, but you want to pray the one that is most needed at the moment, and the Holy Spirit will definitely lead you and guide you into that. And so we've been over the last weeks talking about the different kinds of prayer. And just for the point of review, I'm going to take the time and give you these again, not going to belabor them or spend much time on them whatsoever, because we need to get into what we're going to talk about this week. And again, if you have missed any of the previous sermons, I want you to go back and watch those sermons, download the notes so that you can study these kinds of prayer out for yourself and implement these things into your life. So the first type of prayer that we talked about was the prayer of faith. This is the prayer of petition, the prayer that changes things. The second type of prayer that we talked about is the prayer of consecration. This is where we dedicate and commit ourselves to fulfill the will, plan, and purpose of God for our lives. Then we talked about the prayer of commitment. This is where we cast our cares, our worries, our anxieties over on the Lord, and we commit our ways and our thoughts and those things that would want to cause us to be anxious. We cast them over and commit them to the Lord. The fourth type of prayer that we talked about was the prayer of agreement, where two or three believers come together, as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done, Jesus said. And really what he's saying there is that he will be present in the middle of that prayer to make sure that what is petitioned, what is asked for, is carried out. Then we talked about corporate or united prayer. And this is where a larger group of people come together to pray, perhaps a congregation, a church congregation, or maybe an open prayer meeting where many congregations come together. And this is where you're praying and believing and saying the same thing, not in a sense of repeating the same thing or echoing or mimicking, but no, your heart is knit together and your heart is unified in what you're praying about. And really it's the unity of hearts. It's the unification of those hearts and faith in that environment that allows God to be able to move in that situation. And then we talked about the prayer of intercession. This is where you stand in the gap between the Lord and somebody that needs prayer. Could be somebody facing an impending danger, somebody that needs help, somebody that maybe has gotten off course and needs to be brought back in. And listen, we don't determine those things. The Holy Spirit determines those things. You know, this doesn't work in conjunction with the gift of the Spirit called suspicion. No, there is no such gift. No, you need to flow with the Holy Spirit. And if He leads you to intercede for someone, could be you're interceding for a nation. It could be you're interceding for a state or a particular location and the people in that location. So intercessory prayer is one type of prayer and it's very, very important. And so then we began talking about the seventh type of prayer, and that is the prayer of praise and worship. And what we did is we began to separate those two. And really, you know, we could say that there are eight types of prayer and break these out as separate, but they usually work together. So I chose to keep them grouped together. And so we've been talking about praise. What is praise? The power that is made available to us in our praise. And so let me just draw a connection for you. And what is the difference between praise and worship? Because they are two different things, although they very often flow together and are utilized together. But praise is this. It's the natural response to the acts, works, deeds, and promises of God. Let me say that again. Praise is a natural response to the acts, works, deeds, and promises of God. It's where we praise God for what He's done in our lives. It's where what we praise God for when we're trusting and standing on the Word of God and believing God will perform what it is that He said He would do. It's praising God for those things in advance. It works hand in hand with our faith. And so you can praise God for things that have already happened. You can praise God for what you're standing in faith for at the moment. And you can praise God for stuff that hasn't happened yet. You know, I can praise God for the fact that one day I'm going to heaven. I don't need to go now and I'm not ready to go tomorrow, but one day I will go to heaven and I praise God for that. So you can see what praise is, but worship is different. Worship is our adoration expressed to God simply because of who He is. It goes beyond what He's done or is doing, and it acknowledges who He is. Now, praise can do that too. Praise can acknowledge God has been faithful. But you know what? When you take time and you just worship the Lord and tell Him how much you love Him and appreciate Him because He is good, because He is faithful, because He is love, because He has grace and mercy poured out upon our lives. And you begin to praise God for who He is, that He's magnificent. The Bible says that you worship God in the beauty of His holiness. And so we need to understand these things and understand what worship is. Worship goes further and deeper than just your praise does. And praise, that's not to take anything away from praise. Very often it takes praise to bring us into a place of worship. But I want us to understand the difference between the two so that you can really focus on worship. Let me tell you something. Worship is the atmosphere of heaven. If you've read the book of Revelation, you know that the scriptures talk about the creatures around the throne and the elders and the saints that have gone before and how they worship the Lord, they magnify Him, they declare worthy is the Lamb that was slain and all of the things that they're worshiping God for because of who He is. And it's something that has been going on for all eternity past and something that will be going on for all of eternity future. And when you press into worship, you're pressing into the atmosphere of heaven and you're bringing heaven into your situation, into your environment. You're bringing the presence of God into your environment and into your situation. Let's look at John chapter 4. In verses 23 and 24, and something that Jesus said, and it begins to define worship for us a little bit, and then it also shows us the priority that worship has in the heart of God. Jesus said this in John 4:23, but the hour is coming, and now is. So he was talking to a Samaritan woman at the well, and he was conveying some things to her, and she tried to play the religion card and talked about worship on this mountain and worship here. And Jesus said, no. What you need to understand is the time is coming when the true worshipers, he said, will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Now, just so you know, we are in that time. That time began when Jesus ascended to heaven. He was resurrected and he went to heaven and the church age began. And so that time has begun. And so notice what he said, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father, listen to this, is seeking such to worship him. Man, do you get that? God is looking for some worshipers. He's looking for somebody that will worship him. Now, is God so insecure that he has to have you worshiping him all the time? No, he knows what worship is and what worship does, and worship facilitates him being able to manifest himself to you, his presence to you in a very real and tangible way. It's so important. So he said that the Father is seeking such to worship him. Verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now that word worship in the Greek language is the Greek word proskuneo. And it's really a very interesting word. Let me tell you what it literally means from the Greek, and then I'll kind of tell you where the tradition comes from. But it means this. It means to kiss like a dog licking his master's hand. It means to crouch before, bow down. That is literally or figuratively prostrate oneself in homage, do reverence, adore, or worship someone. So when you humble yourself, you know, many times in the Gospels when Jesus was ministering, the Bible says that people would fall before him and worship him. And what they were doing is they literally were humbling themselves, kneeling down before the Lord and prostrating themselves in his presence because they understood or had a little glimpse of who he is. Now, let me tell you a little bit. I got tickled when I was reading this out of a commentary, but it'll help you understand. The ancient Oriental mode of salutation, and this originally comes from the Persian tradition, but the original ancient mode of salutation between persons of equal ranks was to kiss each other on the lips. Now, aren't you glad we don't practice that today in the sense of, can you imagine being in the army or one of our armed forces and the way you addressed your peer was to kiss him on the lips? Thank God we don't carry that tradition still. But it says when the difference of rank was slight, that kissed each other on the cheek. Now, there are some who still practice that today. Many cultures, particularly over in European and Middle Eastern cultures, they still practice that, where they will kiss one another on the cheek. When one was much inferior, he fell upon his knees and touched his forehead to the ground, or prostrated himself, throwing kisses at the same time toward the superior. It is this latter mode of salutation that Greek writers used when they expressed and used the word proskuneo. So again, when someone you know you are lesser rank than someone that you're encountering, you know, albeit military or whatever, but it says that you fell upon your knees, you touched your forehead to the ground, and you prostrated yourself, throwing kisses at the same time to that superior person. And so that's what worship is. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to do that every single time. Really, now listen to me carefully. Really, all of this is about heart attitude. What is your heart attitude towards the Lord when you're worshiping Him? Now, you were born to worship. You were created to worship. And I'm going to say something to you, and you need to understand this, but whether you realize it or not, you and I are worshiping someone or something, because that is how we were created. We were created instinctively, spiritually, to be people of worship. So we're worshiping someone or something, whether we realize it or not. Now, we may not intend to, but we do. You know, when we humble ourselves and really go bananas over some pop star or movie star or, you know, somebody along that line, you're borderlining beginning to worship that person. You know, I'm not knocking the show, but, you know, after all, one of the most popular shows that we've had on television for the last number of years is called American Idol. What is an idol? An idol is something that you worship. And so, again, I'm not knocking the show. There's been some great people that have come off that show. But my point is this. You were created to worship. You are called to worship. And you are worshiping something or someone, whether you realize it or not. So let me boil all of this down and give you the most simple definition of worship that I can tell you. Worship is this, simply this. Now, don't, because of the simplicity of it, don't lose the depth of it. But listen, worship is love expressed. Let me say that again. Worship is love expressed. You have to love someone in order to worship them. So you've got to have love in your heart to worship God, and you must express it for it to be worship. Now, worship in the Bible always has to do with the heart and what is expressed. Now, the important thing is this. Your heart needs to be in alignment with what you are expressing. So if you're in a worship service, let's say, a worship environment, and you're worshiping God, you need to make sure that your heart is focused on Him and aligned with your worship. Because as I said to you last week, with praise, worship is the same way. You know, you can look like you're worshiping, but if your heart is not in it and your heart is a million miles away, you're just going through the motions. You're not really worshiping. Worshiping is where you express the love for God that is in your heart. Now, let me define this further. Worship is love. Worship is love. Let me show you some scriptures found in Deuteronomy chapter 11, back when the Lord was giving the law and instructions of the law to the children of Israel. I want to point something out to you, because there's a principle that He laid out for them that would do us good to learn today. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 1 says this, "Therefore you shall," now listen, love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always. Now notice that the Lord didn't start off with, now you need to keep the Lord's commandments, and by the way, you need to love him. No, he said, first, you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always. Then in that same chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 13, it says this, and it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, starting with to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So love even comes, or to love God comes before your service. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 22 says this, for if you carefully keep all these commandments, which I command you to do, starting with, and I'm adding that, but starting with to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him. Notice all of these things, walking in the commandments, it starts with your love for God. Now I want to say something to you, and I want you to get this. The greatest thing that you can possibly do is love God. The greatest thing that you can possibly do is love God. And somebody says, well, wait a minute, Pastor. I thought the greatest thing that I could do is serve God. Well, we may think that, but listen, if you love God, you will serve God. If you serve God and don't love God, you're just going through religious motions and it values nothing. But if you serve God because you love him, that's where the value of it begins. The way to serve God begins with loving God. Now, listen to what Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5 says, and I'm going to read it from Deuteronomy, and then I'm going to read where Jesus quoted these very same verses in Matthew's gospel. But listen to Deuteronomy chapter 6 first. He said this in verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Now, again, listen to that instruction, that commandment, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Now, Jesus said this in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 34 through 38. And again, by the way, in addition to this commandment, there's 650, give or take, more commandments that the Lord spells out in the Old Testament. And so, but listen to what Jesus said in verse 34 of Matthew 22. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Now, I want you to understand and notice his question. He's trying to trap Jesus, you know, get him to say something and mess up in his answer. But he said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? So what he said was, of all the 650 commandments that are in the law, what is the most important one? And so Jesus, in verse 37, said to him, and listen to what he said. He's quoting Deuteronomy 6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And notice what Jesus said in verse 38. This is the first and great commandment. Now, why did Jesus say that? Because it is so important that you obey this first commandment before you try and do the other 649. In other words, you have to love God first. And it is first, the highest priority, and it is the greatest commandment that was given. And so even Jesus said the first and greatest commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And then let me say this, then the rest become easy. Did you get what I said? The rest, the other commandments become easy. When you love God first and foremost with every fiber of your being, then obeying Him and doing what all He tells you to do comes easy. And maybe we have struggled obeying the commandments, and I know we don't live by the commandments in the age of grace, in the sense of they earn our salvation. No, we're born again, we're saved, but the commandments didn't go away. We still need to love our neighbor. We still need to not steal and do all of the things that the Ten Commandments said, but it must start with our love for God, because if we love God, doing the other commandments becomes very easy. Now, have you ever looked at somebody and looked at their life and said, you know what? They love God more than me. I just don't love God as much as that person. Well, let me give you some hope, okay? In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 6, I want to read to you a promise that the Lord made that is still applicable to us today. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 6, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. Now, I want you to listen to that. When you see the phrase circumcised, that's a covenant term. But what it refers to is there is a cutting that takes place. In other words, God said this. He said, I will perform some surgery. I will do some cutting on your heart so that you can love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. So what that means is, even as a born again believer, if you don't feel like, and I use that term respectively, but if it doesn't seem like you love God as much as you should, then give God an opportunity to work in your heart, to do some surgery in your heart to cause you to love God. Now, you've got to want that. You've got to will it and say, Lord, I want to love you more. You know, God won't love us anymore, but we can certainly grow in our love for Him. And we have to allow Him to move in our hearts in order to facilitate that. And that brings me to a characteristic of love, where love of God is concerned, and that is this: love grows. And really, this is true in any relationship. Love grows. Now, love grows the more you spend time with someone, the more you're around them, the more you fellowship with them, the more you communicate with them, your love for that person will grow and increase. And so if you want your love for God to grow, then you're going to have to spend some time in His Word, spend time in prayer and worshiping Him and fellowshipping with Him. But I want to say this to you, maybe to kind of help you a little bit. All right. Now, listen, if it seems like someone loves God more than you love God, here's why. Because they have probably been walking with God more or longer. Okay. Now, here's another reason that it may seem that someone loves God more than you. Now, we're not supposed to compare anyway, but listen, it could be, you know, Jesus made a statement. He said, to whom much is forgiven. Okay. That the love and appreciation, and I'm paraphrasing, but He said that when you are forgiven much, you love much. And so, you know, a lot of people have just forgotten how much they have been forgiven for. In other words, you know, if you'll think back, you know, what your life was like before you got saved, before you were born again, and the fact that God forgave you of that, oh man, let me tell you, you're talking about doing something to boost your love for Him. So remember how far you've come in Him. Remember to, you know, as you spend time with Him, as you fellowship with Him, your love will grow and increase. Now, here's something else about love that you need to understand, and that is this: love leaks. I heard you laugh at that one, but let me say it again. Love leaks. Now, the more that you spend time with someone, the more you'll fall in love. You'll love them more. But let me tell you something. You have an adversary, the devil, who is bent on trying to move you to stop loving God as much as you do. And what he does is brings things into our lives that will cause holes in our hearts to be created, and the love of for God will begin to leak out. In other words, you know, he's shooting fiery darts and arrows at us, Ephesians chapter 6 says, and what he's trying to do is to get those arrows into your heart through depression, causing you to be angry or bitter or resentful towards someone else. And if we allow those holes to get in our hearts, it causes our love for God to leak out, not to mention our love for other people. And he tries to get you distracted with other things so that your heart will be towards someone or someone else, or someone else or something else. And so when that happens, you're leaking love. And so what we've got to be mindful of is not to allow the devil to bring holes into our hearts so that love leaks out. Now, I want to go back to you and I want to emphasize what I said to you. Worship is love, but worship is also love expressed. Love must be expressed. Now, if you are married, if you don't understand the value of what I'm telling you right now, let me tell you something. Your marriage is in trouble. You know, you can't be like the guy that said, you know, he's been married for 30 years and his wife tells the marriage counselor, well, he never says he loves me. And, you know, but the husband pipes up and he says, well, I told you that on the day we got married. Well, let me tell you something. That is not real love. Love, it must be expressed. So fellas, if you're not telling your wife all the time how much you love her, and wives the same thing, you're not expressing that love. Well, worship is love expressed. You must verbalize and express your love to God in worship. Now, did you know that we are the only beings in creation that are able to communicate heart to heart? We can communicate to other people heart to heart. We can communicate to our Heavenly Father heart to heart. No other creature on the earth is able to do that. So love, worship is love communicated. It is you communicating your love to God and God communicating His love to you. And you were created to receive God's love and give God's love back to Him. No other creature in all of creation can do that. Nobody else, no other creature is able to receive the love of God and then take that same love and return it back to Him in worship. Now, as I begin to conclude this today, I want to tell you this, okay, just to help you. People worship God differently. You might not worship the way I worship God. Now, there's going to be some basic things that are the same, but listen to me. Just like men and women are wired differently, you know, women are motivated by feelings, women are motivated by communication and those types of things. Men are motivated and communicate by watching and doing. You know, men can get together and do things together and not talk much while they're doing them, and yet their relationship grows stronger. Whereas women, they get together and they express their feelings to each other. They express their emotions and what they're thinking and all of that type of thing. You know, I've been out playing golf with friends of mine and riding in the same golf cart with them. And we'll ride and play several holes and not say much of anything, but just enjoying the time fellowshipping with one another. And in that environment, the love for one another is growing. And so here's my point. You may not worship like your wife does, and your wife may not worship like you do. But the fact of the matter is, we all need to worship. And so you know, women are going to worship God out of predominantly out of their feelings, out of their emotions, and so forth, just because that's the way they're wired up. Whereas men might worship God and just enjoy being quiet in the presence of God and waiting on God. You know, so listen, my point is this. You don't beat yourself up if you don't worship God like somebody else that you've seen worship God. No, worship God the way you're wired up. Worship God in the sense of, now again, it's expressing your love for Him and acknowledging who He is in your life and what the Word says that He is, and you do it the way that you're wired up. I know with me, I prefer music to help me worship God. I'm a musician anyway. And so music helps me to worship God. Music may not do anything to you as far as helping you worship God, but listen, that don't draw a comparison to me and say, well, now I've got to have music playing every time I worship God. No, it's possible to worship God with no music going on. And so don't try and mimic what somebody else is doing. You find your lane in worship. You find out what works for you. Somebody says, well, how do I know it's working for me? Well, let me ask you a question. Are you experiencing God's presence? Are you experiencing Him, manifesting Himself to you? Are you experiencing the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart in those times of worship? Well, if the answer is yes, and you're doing it the way that works with your personality, then man, by all means, carry on, okay? So don't try and mimic what somebody else does in worship. No, you worship God the way He's wired you up, all right? So worship is love expressed. It's taking the love of God, by the way, which has already been deposited in your heart. Now, a lot of times, we refer to that in our relationships and loving other people. But let me tell you something. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit to help you love God more, to help you grow in your love for Him. So, you know, somebody says, well, I just don't know if I love God. No, that's not true. You have love down on the inside of you. It was deposited in there by the Holy Spirit when you got born again. So what you need is just to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that love to you and show you how to walk in it and show you how to express it. Now, listen, it goes two ways, how to express it to God and then how to express that love to other people. And I promise you, He will show you how to love your Heavenly Father more. He'll show you how to express your love more. I've had the Holy Spirit just say things to me down in my spirit to prompt me to what to say in my expression of my love to the Lord. And so He'll do the same thing for you. And so I want you to understand the difference between praise and worship. Praise is acknowledging God for what He's done or what He is doing or what He shall do. Worship is where we express our love to God simply because of who He is. Who is He, you might say? Well, He's the creator of the universe. He's the Most High God. There's nobody that compares to our God. He is awesome. He is majestic. He is glorious. He is full of awe and wonder. He is just absolutely magnificent. That is your Heavenly Father. And so again, it's where we begin to express those things to Him and we acknowledge Him for who He is. And then we tell Him how much we love Him and express that love to Him. That's where your worship will go to a whole different level. Amen. Do you receive this today? I know you do. Let me close this sermon with prayer. Father, thank you so much for the word that we've heard today. I thank you, Father, that we love you with all of our hearts. And Father, I thank you that by the Holy Spirit, you're showing us how to express that love to you, how to tell you how much we love you, to love you for who you are and how good you are and how awesome you are and how wonderful you are in our lives. And Father, I thank you for causing that to become alive on the inside of each and every one of us. Show us, Father, how to love you more. Show us how to follow our love for you with our service, not the other way around. And Lord, I thank you for doing that. I pray for every single person that is watching this video today. I thank you, Lord, that the spirit of worship will rise up big within them and they will begin to go to a whole different level in their relationship and fellowship with you as they spend time worshiping you in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it. Amen. Now, I want to give you an invitation today. You know, we've talked about having a relationship with the Lord and worshiping Him. But you know what? You can't worship Him if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, and I mean worship Him from your heart. You can go through some motions of worship, but heartfelt worship is what we're after. And so that takes place after you've been born again, after you have received salvation. So Jesus already paid the price for us. We're going to be celebrating that this week. So I want to invite you to open up your heart to receive what Jesus has already done for you. He died on the cross for you and paid the price for your sin so that your sin could be washed away by the blood of Jesus and you can have a pure, holy relationship with the Creator of the universe and He can become your Heavenly Father. I want to ask you to do that today if you never have, or maybe today you might be saying, well, I'm just not sure. Well, pray this prayer with me, and I can guarantee you, after you pray this prayer, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are a child of God, that you're born again, and that you have been washed in the blood of Jesus, and that your sins are forgiven and forever washed away. Just pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you today and I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I need you, Lord. I need you in my life. And so I thank you that He paid for my sins on the cross and He died for me. But on the third day, He was raised from the dead. And now He is seated at your right hand, and He is Lord of all. Now, Lord Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my past. And cleanse me and give me a brand new beginning. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Now fill me to the full and overflowing with the power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for it. Thank you that I'm forgiven. Thank you that I'm clean. And thank you that I am your child. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, friend, if you prayed that prayer with me, we believe you just got born again. And you are definitely a child of God. Isn't that good? Well, we celebrate you. We're so proud of you. And we appreciate you making the best decision that you could possibly make in your life. I want to ask you to do me a favor. Would you please let me know that you prayed that prayer? Would you just send me an email at mystory, mystory, at springhill.cc and just let me know you prayed that prayer today, gave your heart to Jesus. And we're not going to bombard you or harass you. No, we just want to celebrate with you. And I want to pray for you and believe God for your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you will begin to grow in the things of God and become everything that God wants you to be. He's got such good things in store for you, and we love you so much.
Thanks once again for tuning in to the Spring Hill Church podcast. We hope that you have been blessed by today's message. If you would like more information about the church, please feel free to visit us at springhill.cc.